Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur, and I'm your host, Johnny Naster. Okay, so if this is your first time listening to Hack the Entrepreneur, welcome. I'm glad that you're here. You may find this is not your typical business interview podcast, and that is exactly how I want it. If you've been here before, welcome back. I appreciate you being here again, and I hope to be better today than I was the last time. Whether you're still thinking about starting your first side hustle or business, or you're a longtime business vet, if at any point during your journey you decide that you want more, that you want to get serious and take the next step as not just a dreamer, but as an entrepreneur, just know that I'm ready for you. When you're ready to take that step, go to roadmaptofreedom.com and grab your 21 steps to starting a profitable online business. All right, let's get into it. My guest today is the intrinsically motivated founder and co-CEO of Noonday Collection. She's done everything from midwifery to in Bolivia to flipping homes in Austin, Texas, and earning herself a master's in education along the way. In 2010, a trip to Rwanda became the spark that ignited her to start Noonday Collection, the world's most successful fair trade jewelry business. Noonday Collection partners with 28 artisan businesses in 12 countries, as well as over 1,700 ambassador independent business owners who sell Noonday products across the United States. My guest is also the author of a brand new book called Imperfect Courage. If you're listening to this when this goes live, that book comes out today. Now, let's hack Jessica Honegger. Before we get going, I want to talk to you about domain names. Wait. Listen. I know that domain names are something we only think about once, right? When we're naming our new product, our new business, our new blog, our new podcast, whatever it happens to be, and then it's quickly forgotten. At least until you have to go through that annoying up-laden, downsell, add-on, additions process. You know the companies that do that. And this is why I'm so happy to bring you Hover. Hover does one thing only. It's domains, and they do it really, really well. Whether you need a new domain for your business, or if you're like me and you want to migrate 12 of your existing domains from 3 different domain registrars to Hover, their support and their service makes it simple. And if you take action on this right now, I've worked out a deal for you. Go to hover.com/hack, get started today, and you'll get 10% off your very first purchase. Remember, no upsells, a clean user interface, and the best customer support that there is. Once again, go to hover.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very, very special guest, Jessica. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Oh, man, I've been looking forward to this. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to get a lot out of it, you and I, and also hopefully people out there listening as well, Jessica. So what do you say? Should we jump into it?
Let's jump in.
Let's do it. All right, Jessica, you wear many hats throughout your day, throughout your week, but today we're talking to Jessica, the entrepreneur. So Jessica, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I really do believe that people want to be inspired. People want to be held accountable to their potential. And people want to be intrinsically motivated. And I believe that I am really able to live in the realm of possibility and help other people live in that realm and see themselves in that realm and rise up to be in that realm too. And I think that that is unique. I think that people follow leaders like that. And I think that I've been able to build a business that really is built around purpose. And that's highly attractive. We're all looking for purpose. We're hungry to make an impact. And I run an impact business. So of course there is that every single thing that New Day Collection sells is handmade by artisans and is creating opportunity for people living in vulnerable places. But I feel like too, we've really been able to build a brand that enables people to feel like they are in fact making a difference. And it harnesses that intrinsic motivational need that we all have of wanting to live a life that's bigger than ourselves. And I've just been fortunate enough to get to do that.
Through a lot of hard work and determination.
Yes.
Intrinsically motivated. It's an interesting, I don't know, it's an interesting way to put it. And I guess I would like to sort of dive into that a little bit if we could. Where do you see this intrinsic motivation within the population?
Well, I believe that we all desire connection, that we're all created for connection. We're created to actually live a life beyond just self-satisfaction and even just providing for our own families, but that we're really designed to connect to others outside of ourselves and to own our voices and to use our influence for good. And that it's not about, okay, I'm going to work this hard to get this promotion, or I am aiming for this salary in the next 2 years. I believe that those things, those goals are, I'm not saying they're bad. I think that they're fine, but they're carrot sticks. They are, it creates a hustle that can often lead to exhaustion and an emptiness. Whereas I think when you can really connect your soul and your purpose and who you are to creating good in the world, to creating impact, to leaving an influence, that is what we're designed for. And so when you can do that, when you can find that sweet spot, I think that's when you can live this life of purpose and going scared and taking risks and not just living for the next carrot.
So it's 10 years on with you starting Noonday, I believe from a trip to Uganda. And I mean, you're running a social enterprise at this point. And so having this sort of connection to your soul, your purpose, and that intrinsic motivation, could you have that, do you see, Jessica, without maybe, like, can you have that sort of externally from maybe like the output of your company, if that makes sense?
Absolutely.
Like, could you create a widget and then use all of the profits and money from that widget to do these other things?
Yeah. I mean, again, there's no formula for this. And I think for so many years, I was trying different things. I knew that I wanted to use my life for impact, but for a while I was in real estate and I started a real estate company. I was flipping houses. And even my husband went on to, well, after I started Noonday Collection, he continued on with our real estate company, and he would do things like serve people who are typically left out of the house buying process, or help people buy a first home that had never even dreamed that they could do that by connecting them to the right financiers. So I do believe that, you know, we are a B Corp. So we believe in the stakeholder model, that we are linked in our prosperity to our bank, who provides us with our line of credit, to our customers, to our ambassadors, who are our sellers, who are out there being our social entrepreneurs in the world, to the artisans, who are our suppliers, to our home office team. We are completely linked, where their success is our success is their success, their struggle is our struggle. And I think when you embrace this idea of togetherness, of linked prosperity, then, you know, the tide, when it rises, it rises all ships, you know, as Kennedy said. And I think that that is where that sweet spot is, that we're meant to be in this together. And I believe whether you're running a company and you can create that sort of stakeholder model, or whether you're in a corporate job and you can stop and ask yourself, like, what are my unique gifts? What makes my heart beat a little faster? How can I use that then to have an impact? How can I use the opportunity I've been given in order to create opportunity for others, because I believe that there is a flourishing power, that we all have been created with power. And how are we going to use that power? Are we going to use our power to multiply and create flourishing for others? And that is, you don't have to run a social impact company to do that, but you do need to be awake and you need to be aware that your life is just not all about making yourself more comfortable and happy. There really is a life waiting for you that is lived beyond yourself, that encompasses a world in need. And I think the first step is understanding that there is a world in need and that there are unique gifts that you can bring to that. And it's not just about writing a check to be a solution, but it really is about saying, you know, what can I do? How can I use my time, my resources to do good?
So 10 years ago in Uganda, you met people and you had, I guess, a spark of an idea and this like longing to do this something more meaningful or bigger or beyond yourself, which I'm going to say that probably lots of us at some point in our lives, maybe not in Uganda, but anywhere in our neighborhood, somewhere, we've felt that, but then it's fleeting. And I think that's because we don't even know what to grasp on to maybe even like get started. What went through your mind 10 years ago? And then what sort of steps did you take to even make this begin to be possible?
Yeah. And I do think we all have those moments where we wake up to a reality that really makes our heart beat. And we think, man, I wish I could do something to affect change. And I think we get stuck thinking, okay, well, then I need to do something huge, or I need to like go into analysis paralysis and Google the thing to death. Or we do Google and we think, oh, 10 other people are already doing something about that. And then we completely lose that spark, that intrinsic motivational force, that something that made our heart thump. And I believe that that first step is so crucial, because you can't finish what you don't start. And we disqualify ourselves before we've even taken the first step. But I have to confess that I didn't have some grand business idea. Noonday Collection was really born out of a desperate time for me and in our family. At the time I had 2 kids under 5, and my husband and I had decided to adopt to bring our 3rd child into our family. And we, through a series of Googling, landed on adopting from Rwanda, which is in East Africa. And we made that decision and we had a little nest egg. International adoption is about $25,000 to $30,000. We were working a real estate business. We had flipped homes for a couple of years and then had transitioned as the market began to decline. We transitioned out of that into being full-time realtors. But at the same time, it's like, who's starting a real estate company in like 2009? Unless you're really dumb. So there we were as realtors, and we'd made this decision to adopt. And then before you know it, deals were just falling apart. People were scared if we had a deal closing, people were walking away. They were afraid, well, I don't want to close because I think my house is going to depreciate over time. And I mean, we at one point when we were flipping houses had like 5 no-doc loans and all sorts of crazy debt. And yet we still had felt that thump that, yes, we want to grow our family through adoption, and really had felt it had been very confirmed, almost, you know, almost like a calling to adopt this little boy from Rwanda. But before you knew it, we are living off of fumes, and that little nest egg is now paying the grocery bills. And at the same time, I knew, like, you know what? We still are meant to do this. The only obstacle was financial. And really, in the grand scheme of life, like, I wasn't going to let a faltering bank account stop us from growing our family, from getting a son. Like, I would have stood out like the Salvation Army at Christmas time, ringing a bell, you know, if that's what it was going to take. That is not what I wanted to do, however. So I just started getting creative. What are some things that I could do? And previously to the crash, my husband and I had gone on a trip to Uganda to visit some of our friends who were creating entrepreneurial opportunity for Ugandans. I think we shared this common belief that entrepreneurship is this way where people can emerge out of poverty. How can we look at the resources that people have been given, the gifts they've been given, and then bring those things together to become more than, you know, the sum of their parts. And so we were visiting them, and one of the businesses, they had helped start many, and one of them was this artisan business. And they had met this young couple, Jalia and Daniel, who were extremely talented, but extremely poor. So here I felt broke. Well, they were broke on a whole different level without a home, and their kids weren't in school, and they were truly living hand to mouth. They call it digging, where they're literally going to their neighbor's potato garden in order to eat that day. But they were talented and had drive and had that potential to really influence the nation, is what my friends felt like. And my friends had said on that trip, gosh, we put this couple to work and we've got all these artisan goods and they're just sitting in crates in America. And I don't know if you'd be interested in selling them. And at the time I was like, are you crazy? Like, I've got two little kids. I'm running a real estate business. Like, I'm not going to sell African stuff. Like, what are you talking about? And then 6 months later, our bank account is now in the red and we're wanting to adopt. And I'm thinking I need to do something. So I texted my friends and said, hey, is that opportunity still on the table? And they said, yes, of course. And I told them financially, we're just in a real bind right now. And they said, you know what? Just sell those products and see what happens and just use that money to start seeding your adoption fund. So I drove down, got the crates, dusted them off, filled my home up like a store, merchandised it, got, you know, borrowed mannequins, like went all out to make it really feel like a beautiful experience. I hustled to get women there. I put it on the neighborhood listserv. I said, okay, you know, you ask my friends, bring at least two friends, and ended up having about 80 women come to my house that night. And people fell in love with the products. They really loved this idea of being able to use their purchasing power for good. People really wanted to rally around our adoption. And in spite of the fact that I felt like I look so desperate right now, and now, of course, we're never going to get hired to do a real estate job because, you know, like we look like complete failures. I had so many fears of that could have prevented me from taking that first step. I really wanted to cancel. I remember when the RSVPs weren't rolling in like I had wanted to. I thought, I'm just going to call this off because I'm going to look like a fool if my house is filled with this merchandise and five of my best friends show up and that's it. And I'm going to look like a fool if some of these real estate clients we've had in the past come and see how desperate we are that we're selling these African goods. I mean, I didn't mention that I also was selling like my dishes and my clothes and like all the things. But again, all of those fears could have stopped me from taking that first step. But instead, I just went scared. I just decided to make fear my friend. Instead of letting fear be in the driver's seat, I kicked it into the back seat and said, maybe you're going to be in the car. Like, maybe I'm not going to wait to do this until I'm feeling perfectly courageous and perfectly like adequate and perfectly whatever. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it scared. And people came and people wanted to show up for me. And people didn't say, oh my, I mean, maybe some people did think I was desperate, but for the most part, I had women saying, well, that necklace just sold out and I really wanted it. Can you get more of this? And the next day, after doing several thousand dollars in sales, I realized this could be something. This could be more than just a one-night fundraiser. People were inspired by the products and by rallying around our adoption. And so I reached out to my friends and I said, hey, almost everything sold out, especially this one necklace. People are wanting more of it. And my friends texted back and said, why don't we put you in touch with this couple? And why don't you give this a go? I mean, see if you could start selling these products. And so I got in touch with this couple. They didn't even have a computer. They were going to internet cafes. I went and set up a Western Union account. I went and pawned off gold jewelry that I had been gifted to throughout my life in order to fund the first website and literally set up shop. And I began to ask women even before I had the product that, you know, the product hadn't even been shipped to me at this point to replenish what had been sold. But I started asking other women to open up their homes. And would you open up your home? And I began couch surfing. I was driving all over the place, toting these goods. And I just kept having women want to show up, want to use their purchasing power for good, wanting to rally behind Jahlia and Daniel. And within a few months, I had other women saying, I want to do this too. Can I become a part of your company? So we set up an affiliate program that we call the Ambassador Program. And now we have the opportunity for these social entrepreneurs. We have 2,000 women around the country who can now launch their own social businesses, and they are business owners in their own right. And they're multiplying what I did in cities across the nation. And Jahlia and Daniel, those first artisans that I almost said, you know what? This looks too desperate. This is foolish. I'm not going to do this. They now have 100 full-time employees in Uganda and work with 300 social entrepreneurs in their communities who are rolling the beads. And it all would have been for naught if I just would have let fear keep me seated instead of standing up and saying, I don't have much, but what I have, I can do. I can invite women into my home. I know how to rally people. If there's one thing I can do, I can rally people. And whatever you have to do, you have something. Everyone, we've all been given gifts. We've all been given talents. You have something. So just take that one thing and do that next thing. And don't let perfectionism or comparing your beginning to someone else's ending disqualify you, because you don't know who's on the other side of your fear. And I think when we can realize that it's not about us, it's about the people on the other side. It's about when we let fear in the driver's seat, then we're like putting our passengers at risk. And yet there are passengers. We all have people that we are called to journey with in this life who we can influence and impact. And I think, you know, we can all be a part of that journey. Certainly the New Day Collection ambassador opportunity was really born out of that, because I talked to so many men and women who say, I want to do something. And, you know, a lot of our ambassadors do have corporate jobs and they're doing this on the side. And some of them have been able to actually create full-time careers out of this. And it's been very gratifying to create opportunities and meet that need, that angst that we have, and now create an opportunity to fill that angst.
I feel like I haven't seen anything in the wild, I guess, that is like your ambassador program. Can you sort of clarify, like, what is that? How does it work?
Yeah. So there is nothing else in the wild. To break it down into just layman's terms, we are, if you've ever heard of the brand Stella & Dot or Mary Kay or Amway or Tupperware, that is our business model, but we have a social impact. So we say that we have this business model of Tupperware with the social impact of what Tom's Shoes has been known for, but with the aesthetic of, say, an Anthropology. And we bring all of those together, and our ambassadors are business owners. I mean, they are contract workers who, again, they run their own business and they're really franchisees, if, you know, can put it in that term as well. And we give them all of the business tools that they need, their own website, obviously all the product to sell, the brand, the marketing. And then we support them with all of those things, with training and the community that comes along with that. We have sales conferences. We also, ambassadors have the opportunity to earn trips to actually go meet the artisans. We took over 150 women around the world this last year to Vietnam and Guatemala and Peru and Haiti to go and meet their partners. Like, again, there's stakeholders that we're all in this together. And yeah, women now can build teams. They can recruit other women to be on their teams and really are the vice presidents, presidents, CEOs of their own companies.
So it's multi-level marketing for social impact?
Yep.
Wow.
It is.
Amazing.
Yep. Yes.
I literally, I don't think there's anything else like that. And
call it multi-impact marketing.
Right, exactly. I mean, yeah. So there's negative connotations to some MLM, obviously. Wow. Multiple impact marketing?
Multi-impact.
That's awesome.
I kind of made that up, yeah.
That's very cool. Was this the idea from the beginning, from the inception?
Well, like I mean, you heard the story. So the inception was like, I need cash and I need it now.
Right.
Right. But quickly after that, yes. I mean, I saw that there was a hole in the marketplace. I had been someone that people had tried to recruit to join their MLMs. So I obviously had whatever that is, like the go-getter attitude, mm-hmm. the salesperson kind of innate in me. So I knew, okay, other people are wanting me to be a part and do this, but none of the products and the mission had ever even tempted me to want to do it. And here I was, someone who had been probably had a bias against MLMs and party plan companies. And yet here I was going, gosh, I love this business model. There wasn't the product and the mission there. And once I married all of those things and it really became, really filled a hole in the marketplace. Absolutely. Which is, I mean, why we grew so quickly. And I think, just filled a need.
Yeah. So there's this massive gap in the marketplace, which was, you're right. MLM is a great business model. It's just almost always they just sell a trash product that you
totally,
would be hard for you to get behind because it's kind of like, well, the world doesn't need more of that in landfills and wasting people's time and money. Fascinating. Okay. So that takes us now 8 years later, Jessica. And this is kind of where I like to talk about projects within the company, which is Noonday Collection. And you are just about to launch a massive, massive project. Another undertaking that you have never done before, but you're boldly going to it. This is a new book called Imperfect Courage, which is coming out August 14th, I believe.
Yes.
So it's out right around the time this goes live. I would love to just sort of, let's talk about this. I mean, you don't consider yourself an author still, because the book hasn't come out. But as a project for the company, can you explain sort of how this fits into your goals?
Yeah, absolutely. I really believe in that books lend a certain amount of credibility to a brand and to a founding story. And there's so many different channels of communication these days for brands. There's social media, which, I mean, gosh, there's Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. There's podcasts now. I mean, I have a podcast called Going Scared that I launched 6 months ago, and it already has, reached the top of the chart. So, I mean, there's just so many different channels that we can have as brands, and a book is a really powerful channel. In spite of digital taking over our lives, there is still something extremely unique and special about a book. And I knew I wanted to use a traditional publisher because, again, I wanted to go through sort of this traditional publishing platform. And obviously, we are a bootstrapped company, so we are completely self-funded. And a publisher I knew would also give me an advance, and I could take that money and use it towards the marketing of the book. So I believe that a book can really create brand awareness. I remember when I was starting Noonday, it was right around the tipping point for Tom's Shoes. And I remember being at Nordstrom and there was like the Tom's Shoes little display. And right next to it was Blake McCloskey's, the founder of Tom's, like his book, Start Something That Matters. And I thought, that's brilliant. And then a few months later, I was traveling with a friend and she was reading that book. And so I think that really stuck with me, the power of a book to really spread a message. And again, if we go back to how we started, I really do feel called to catalyze other people and to help other people own their worth and their voice in order to make an impact in the world. And a book is a really powerful place to get to encourage others to live into that message. And that obviously is the message of this book, is really encouraging people to leave comfort and to go scared, and I take them through that journey on this book. So hopefully by the time someone ends this book, they've gone on this journey and received this invitation to make their mark on the world. And I mean, we're imagining this book in Target and Walmart and airports, obviously on Amazon, but the message of this book, though it isn't solely focused around the Noonday Collection story, the story is in the pages, and it presents this beautiful backdrop to the message that I feel called to really bring to others. And we are hoping that it's a big brand awareness play without having to have spent hundreds of thousands of marketing dollars. We're hoping it goes viral, that it's a bestseller. So all of you listening now, head over to Amazon, grab it, Target, wherever you buy books. And yeah, I'm so excited. I just can't even imagine the day where I'm, you know, walking through the airport on a business trip and I'm like, oh my gosh, there it is. I see that now. I see our jewelry a lot on other women when I'm in airports, and that's always really, really fun. And I just feel like a book is just another way to really elevate the brand.
Yeah. So it's a brilliant sort of content marketing play in the fact of establishing your credibility and really sort of leveling up what you guys are doing. With the track record of yourself and Noonday behind you, and then wanting to find a traditional publisher for this, was it difficult, or did that, like, the positioning of your story, was it just kind of like you had your choice?
I am really fortunate to wear the platform of the brand that really is, I feel sad in some ways for writers, people that are like, I am called to write. It's so challenging to get a book deal when you don't have a platform. And since we had such a proven track record of an audience and of a community, yeah, there was a bidding war for the book, and I went with Penguin Random House, based out of New York, and their imprint, which is called Waterbrook. So I have really, really enjoyed the process. I mean, I knew zero about this whole world. My first step was getting a book agent who helped me walk through the whole thing, but it's been a 3-year project. So from kind of deciding on a book agent, then writing a book proposal. So really figuring out what is the message, what's the story arc. And then that proposal my agent then shopped that proposal to 50 or so publishers, and then eventually got bids from several publishers, and then had to decide which publisher to go with. And then once we locked the book contract, then the actual writing began. And that was happening this time last year. Just turned in the final manuscript just a few months ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for finding a book agent, did you do like you've done in the past and just sat down and Googled book agents?
You know, or? I didn't for that. I have a couple of really close friends that are best-selling authors. So I did have that advantage, and they connected me with their agent.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Imperfect Courage, Live a Life of Purpose by Leaving Comfort and Going Scared. As Jessica said, it's going to be available everywhere by the time you hear this, as well as we'll have links on the show notes for you. If you just want to open up your phone now, there'll be links there. You can just follow and buy it there. Jessica, this has been a fascinating conversation. I would like to wrap up on one final question for you, though, if I could.
Absolutely.
It's this idea I'm working with Jessica calling the entrepreneurial gap, which I'm really looking forward to your answer on this. So after interviewing almost 500 people now, I've found that as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, that we're constantly pushing our personal and our business successes into the future. Mm-hmm. Meaning on August 14th, when your first book launches, or in 6 months, when you hit whatever metric it is you're looking to hit, or that bestseller list, whatever it happens to be, Jessica, you and I both know that right before that happens, you're going to set bigger, loftier goals into the future, which I agree we need. It's absolutely what drives us and which pushes us forward to create these things. But rather than looking forward for a couple minutes here, Jessica, I would love it if you could stop and turn around and look behind you. You've had an amazing journey since 2010. Even before that, you were starting your own stuff. But I'm sure beyond what we've got to talk about today, there's been extreme highs, lows, wins, and losses. But can you just tell me, how do you feel about this crazy journey up until today?
Oh, I love this question. I was just talking with my husband last night about my personality and how it's always pushing ahead. And I often don't stop and reflect because it's like on to the next thing. Like, come on, bigger, better, more. So I love that you are asking me that, because I feel like that is, it's so essential to stop and to celebrate. And it was this time last year that I was in Uganda with 30 of our social entrepreneurs, our ambassadors, visiting Uganda and visiting Jalia and Daniel, where this whole story began. And that was a profound moment of celebration for me to see this young couple who had been in devastating poverty, now flourishing, now leading others. And, you know, I think back to that, my friends who many years ago said, we believe in this young couple, and leadership really is holding other people accountable to their potential. And they saw potential in this couple. And then I came alongside and said, yeah, I'm going to sow into that potential. And then here it had reached hundreds of Ugandans that are then touching hundreds more people in their community from that transformation that happens with a dignified job and with rising up into their own leadership. And that to me is what keeps me going every single day. And then to have the woman there, the Noonday ambassadors, who themselves had had that angst or maybe had earned an income to be able to help their families flourish. And then also that they had earned this opportunity to get to be in Africa, experiencing that with me. It was definitely a career highlight. It ended up being the bookends of my book. It opens with that moment and it ends with that moment, because it's definitely been a career highlight of celebration for me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
All right, Jessica, we've talked about Noonday throughout the conversation. I'm sure you have intrigued many people. Could you tell somebody who is interested in Noonday at this point, what should they do or where should they go next?
So I would love for you to go to the website, Noonday Collection. If you're interested in hosting a trunk show, you can click on host and you can open up your home to impact the lives of Jolly and Daniel and their employees. You can also join us as a social entrepreneur, and it can be on the side. Some women have been able to make it their full-time jobs. And for that, you can go to the join tab. I'm really active on Instagram at jessicahoniger.com if you want to DM me any questions that you might have, as well as you can find me on Facebook, on Twitter. But if you're really interested in joining our movement, then go head to the website and we will have someone get in touch with you as quickly as possible.
Very cool. Very cool. Noondaycollection.com is the site. Again, Imperfect Courage is the brand new book that you should check out. I am looking forward to it myself, as well as the Going Scared podcast. You are just finishing up a podcast now. So if you'd like to listen to more of Jessica, head over to the Going Scared podcast right now in whatever podcast app you're listening to this in. Jessica, once again, thank you so much for everything that you do. Thanks for joining us today and sharing so openly. I really, truly, truly appreciate it. And just keep doing what you're doing, because it is truly awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, John.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Jessica. Now we're at the point of the show. I'm going to say it's my favorite part of the show, but you're free to disagree with me. That's cool. I don't mind. But this is the part where we go back through the conversation I had with Jessica. We go back and I get to play the third-party listener. I get to listen to the conversation and I get to pick out the one thing that Jessica said that had the most impact, I feel, on me or on the show. You ready? All right, let's go back. Let's do this. Let's find the hack.
I believe that first step is so crucial, because you can't finish what you don't start. And we disqualify ourselves before we've even taken the first step.
And that's the hack. Jessica, Jessica, Jessica. I love that you said this. I really, truly do. Because, I mean, I fully agree that the first step is the most crucial, because you can't start what you can't complete or succeed in what you haven't started. And sometimes I feel like maybe I do a disservice by bringing you, my listener, these people who are maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years ahead of the point where you have to just start. Because sometimes I think we forget about that gap. We forget to pay attention to the fact that Jessica struggled. Jessica did what she had to do until she could go do what she wanted to do. And we usually have to do that. And you might be in that stage right now where you have to do what needs to be done before you can go do what you want to do. But that doesn't disqualify you from ever being able to do this. Right? We do. We disqualify ourselves before we even take the first step. And that first step is absolutely crucial. I don't care how small that first step is, but please, 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 no matter who I bring onto the show, do not forget that there's this giant gap between where they started and where they are today in this conversation. They could never be where they are today if they hadn't have taken that whole crazy journey. But it is there. And they weren't born with it. It wasn't just something that they innately had within them, this 5 years of struggle and figuring stuff out. It's something we all have to go through. It's something we all just have to push through and take the highs, the lows, all of it. But I'm thankful that, Jessica, you mentioned this, because I really, really do want this emphasized. That first step is so crucial. We all have to take it. And please do not disqualify yourself before you've even taken it. Jessica, thank you very, very much. And I haven't had a chance, because the book comes out today when this is published, which is August 14th, 2018. But my guess is that Imperfect Courage, Jessica's brand new book, will probably help us all take that step to not disqualify ourselves. If you are on a Kindle or you at a bookstore and you want something to read this weekend to trail out the end of your summer, Imperfect Courage is probably a great book. Jessica's got an amazing story. You just heard her. She's a smart, smart lady and a smart entrepreneur. So yeah, Imperfect Courage, Jessica, it comes out today. I'll link to it in the show notes for you, but you know where to find books. They're all over the place. All right, hacktheentrepreneur.com. It's the website. That's where I'll have the links for everything we talked about today, as well as all the other podcast episodes, the new blog posts that are coming out regularly that I think you'll really dig. And also, you can get onto that ever-cherished email list and become part of the community. It's fun. It's fun. Come and join us. All right. Thank you so much for stopping by. I truly, truly, truly do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.